Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore. I'm Bob Krebs. Kristen Brown is an award-winning photographer and the creator of the Saints Project, a modern portrayal of Catholic saints. Kristen Brown is on the phone with us today from her studio in the Philadelphia area. Kristen, welcome to Catholic Baltimore.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here today. We're going to be talking about the Saints Project. Before we do, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Kristen Brown. I'm 31 years old. Born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Started photography when I was, six. My dad did it. And it just stuck with me all through my life. I moved out to LA when I was 22 and did a lot of photography work out there, headshots, models and stuff, but didn't really ever feel very satisfied or fulfilled by that. So I started to pray about how to use my photography to glorify God, and then Saints Project came to be about 2 years ago.
Yeah, tell us about the Saints Project. You know, first of all, what is it, and then how did it come about?
So the Saints Project is what I call it, a modern portrayal of Catholic saints, and I use digital photography and Photoshop and real people. So I photograph real people dressed as the saint that they're portraying, and then I use Photoshop to kind of blur the line between you thinking that you're looking at a photograph or looking at a painting or looking at something that might be a little more timeless. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you decide to do this, or how did it come about?
You know, it really was one of those sort of light bulb moments. Like I said, I was kind of struggling a lot with feeling fulfilled by photography. And so I was praying for about 5 years about how can I make this, you know, work for me and God at the same time. And so I was with my mom, and she had said something about Saint Sebastian, and I just had this picture in my mind of Saint Sebastian as a photograph being, you know, portrayed by a person, and but making it look like it was an image of Saint Sebastian from the time that he existed. Yeah. And so then I started to look up and research whether or not it had been done before as like an ongoing series, and it hadn't. So I just started doing it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I guess for our listeners who haven't seen the photographs that are part of the Saints Project, I guess as a way of explanation, I guess when you first look at one of your beautiful photographs, it reminds you of a holy card. You know, it's got that dimension. And anybody who's Catholic or raised Catholic will know what a holy card is. It's
right.
And you did that consciously, correct? I mean,
yeah, it was definitely the style and everything of it was very intentional. And I wanted it to feel, you know, like it had a timeless feel. Like you weren't sure if it was a photo or a painting or when it had been made or, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was all very intentional.
So you choose a saint, and then you choose a model, and then you choose, like, a setting or a background. Let's take it one at a time. How do you choose which saints that you're featuring in the Saints Project?
Well, in the beginning, it was just people that I already knew that I could see portraying a particular saint, and that they had some quality that they reminded me of this saint, or I had a saint in my mind that I really liked and was drawn to, and I wanted to find the right person for that.
Yeah.
And that's still pretty much the way that I do it. Like, I look at people and I imagine them as a certain saint. But then when I started doing, like, more series, like, kind of the Holy Family has, like, a series to it, that was just, I used the same people for that.
Sure. Yeah. So give us some of the names of the saints that you are portraying in this series. Do you have a favorite saint?
I have a favorite as far as the images go. There are some favorites, only because it's hard for me. I look at it from a very technical perspective.
Sure, yeah.
So I like the ones that I feel like I did technically well.
Yeah.
So St. Clair of CV is one of my favorites. I felt like the vision I had for it, it came through better than some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. I really do like the Holy Family images. And St. Joan of Arc was one of my favorite saints. And of course, she still is. So I really like that image too. Yeah.
So if you're walking through the mall and you see someone, you walk up to them and say, "Hey, you know, you would make a great Saint Joan of Arc." Does it work that way? Or?
Well, I'm kind of shy and not very extroverted, so I haven't done anything like that yet. It's more like I have approached people through the internet. Like that's actually how I discovered Marie Cahill, who portrays Mary, was on YouTube. Uh-huh. I didn't know her before this, and I had no connection to her. I saw a talk that she had done, a pro-life talk, and I was just blown away by the talk, but also her face just looked like Mary to me. And I had been looking for a new Mary after using a different girl for the World Meeting of Families. I wanted to start over with Mary and do it my way, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I was like seeking that out, and yeah. So that was probably the funniest, most random way to approach someone about. Yeah.
Are you adding to the project? Are you still involved in taking pictures of the saints like this?
Oh yeah. This year I'm planning on doing 12 Apostles.
Ah.
So I'll be going out to Los Angeles to start shooting. I have I think 5 or 6 people out there. And then I'll finish up the other 6, you know, hopefully here or maybe somewhere else. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that one because it's very, very specific. And I think that it's a way that the apostles haven't been shown yet. So yeah. I'm kind of excited about that one.
Do you research and look at the way maybe, let's say St. John the Beloved was,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you look and see how he was portrayed in art and, you know, paintings and that sort of thing, and then develop your image for your photograph that way, or is it totally different?
No, that is pretty much the way, yeah. I like to make sure that, especially with the apostles, it'll be more difficult because they all look pretty similar, and they're all portrayed for the most part throughout the history of art, that they're very old, you know, in a lot of the images.
Sure.
But in my series, they're going to be young, and it's going to be as if they were during the time that they were with Christ. So those mm-hmm. few years that they were traveling with him and partaking in his ministry. So they're going to be portrayed a little bit younger, but yes, I still reference a lot of other art images
yeah.
to make sure that I'm getting some symbolism. If there's a technique, like a specific color that they wear for some reason that means something, the way they wear their hair, something that they're holding or carrying, all of that stuff I definitely take into account, yeah.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from the project? When people look online at these photographs or they purchase them in their homes, what is it that you want them to feel?
I want people, hopefully, to feel that the saints are two things, relatable, that they're human beings and they accomplished incredible things with their lives and devoted themselves to God, and that they're real. And, you know, through the images of looking at a person, you might be able to more closely relate those two things, that was a real person. And also that they themselves can become a saint, you know what I mean? And
sure.
And to be inspired by the story. And also the way that they're made, that the images are done in a way, I hope, that that is kind of a current and modern look, so that people feel, especially young people, they can look at them and feel like it's something that they can relate to.
Yeah. What reactions have you gotten from the public about the project?
Mostly really, really positive feedback. People have been really supportive and encouraging. So, yeah, it's really sweet and overwhelming and I'm very grateful for it, yeah.
We discussed before we began this interview off the air, we talked about how it might be difficult for you and I talking here in this format to describe accurately the beauty of your photographs because they are works of art. But I guess the best bet is for people to go online and check them out. You know?
Yeah.
How can our listeners do that? How can they see these beautiful photographs?
I have a website. It's called thesaintproject.org. That's probably the best place that you can go, the most kind of comprehensive, if everything is there. You can look through all of the images, link to an Etsy page if you are interested in buying a print.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where I put everything up on there.
That website, once again, is thesaintsproject.org. Kristen Brown, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Baltimore.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
For Catholic Baltimore, I'm Bob Krebs.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. St. Thomas Aquinas in Northeast Baltimore's Hamden neighborhood celebrated 150 years as a parish last Sunday. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Laurie was the main celebrant of an anniversary mass that included Bishop Dennis J. Madden, Auxiliary Bishop Emeritus, as concelebrant, as well as Monsignor James Farmer, who was pastor of St. Thomas for 14 years, and Father Sylvester Kim, the current pastor. After the mass, parishioners joined the prelates for a celebratory picnic in the basement of St. Thomas Elementary School. According to a parish history on display at the Mass, it was literally an act of God that convinced the Hamden Catholics, who were worshiping on a local developer's estate, that they needed their own full-fledged parish. The story goes that one stormy day in 1866, it was not possible for Mass to be celebrated on the estate for some reason, so three men struck out on foot for the Church of the Blessed Sacrament, approximately 2 miles east. Before too long, however, the men, James Morris, Karen Foley, and Michael McGee, again according to the parish history that was posted, decided, in the face of weather that was getting worse, to turn around. The problem was, the three men then encountered two women from the Hamden group who were struggling onward toward the same objective, and the women did not want to turn around. So the five struggled gamely forward, and after the adventure, petitioned Archbishop Martin John Spaulding to establish a Hamden parish. The cornerstone was laid by Father Thomas Foley, an administrator for the Archdiocese. The parish was so grateful for his help in establishing the church that they took his patron, St. Thomas Aquinas, as their patron. Read more at CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Eric Zygmunt.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
I'm Bob Krebs for Catholic Baltimore. My guest today is Teresa Tomeo, author, syndicated Catholic talk show host, and motivational speaker, who worked for many years in the secular media. Her latest book is a servant publication titled Beyond Me, My Selfie and I, Finding Real Happiness in a Self-Absorbed World. Teresa Tomeo, welcome to Catholic Baltimore.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Appreciate it.
I'm really looking forward to talking about your new book. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please. I gave our listeners a little bit of background in your introduction, but if you could expound on that just a little bit, it would be great.
Sure. Well, it's been quite and continues to be quite a ride for me. I spent half of my life in secular media before leaving in 2000 to start my own communications company and speaking ministry. I was a Catholic journalist, secular journalist, TV anchorwoman, radio reporter, working and covering the streets of Detroit live 5 days a week.
Wow.
And never intended to, or never even thought about, because I didn't even know Catholic radio existed, to be a motivational speaker, you know, a Catholic author and talk show host, as you just mentioned. It was not, in my agenda, on my agenda at all. I thought I would just, be very content staying in the secular news media, but God had other plans, and when I came back to my faith, I had a very strong reversion almost, 22, 23 years ago. I just felt that I had to leave and come and do what I could for the Lord, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. But a lot of what I talk about, as I do in this book, Beyond Me, Myself, and I, has to do with my background, understanding the media, not only how it works. I'm not just talking about the news media. I'm talking about the culture and how it affects us. A lot of it comes from my professional experience, but also from my own personal experience and my journey back to the church, because I was greatly affected by the messages in the industry for which I was working, and so I have a unique perspective on it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did the idea of this book come about?
Well, if you read the beginning of the book, it comes from something that hit me like a ton of bricks. My husband is a deacon in the Catholic Church, and so we often find ourselves, we're both 100% Italian-American, we often, for both our faith and my husband being involved in the diaconate, traveled to Italy for vacation and for faith reasons. And we were in Italy in 2014. This was May of 2014, and we were getting ready to lead a pilgrimage. We were in northern Italy. We were getting ready to meet a group in the Turin area for the Shroud, for the second showing of the Shroud that they had 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up in the Lake District on Lake Garda, which is a beautiful part of Italy. And so we go take this cable car up a mountainside to go to the top of Mount Baldo, which is this beautiful location where you can see a good chunk of the Lake District and the Alps and whatnot. And so we get there, and everybody is all excited, and people from all over the world, you know, a large group are gathering. And there is this one couple. I'm not sure where they were from. They didn't speak English. I think they were speaking not Italian, but maybe German, but very young, attractive couple. And they were obviously either engaged or maybe even married, but they kept taking selfies of each other. I mean, from the time they stepped on the platform all the way up the cable car ride. Now, this cable car is unique because it turns around 360 degrees. So as you're going up this incredible mountainside, it's turning, so you get this beautiful view of the lakes and the houses and the treetops and the mountains. They did not look out at all. And even when they got off the cable car, they kept snapping selfies and then looking at the selfies. And I'm thinking to myself, no pun intended, how could they ignore such beauty and only be looking at themselves? And then I started to ponder and pray about that as we were on this pilgrimage and vacation, and realizing that it's not the selfies that are the bad things, but it's how we become consumed with ourselves through these instruments that we don't use correctly. So that's how the book was born.
Yeah. You say in your book that we have a selfie-obsessed culture. Explain that, if you would, please.
Well, I think if we look back at the fallout from this last election in terms of the way people reacted, now, regardless, I'm not going to get into the politics of the voting, but it's all based on feelings. Even in trying to educate my listeners on what are we to look at as Catholics, right? We don't endorse, you know, candidates on Catholic radio, but we have to look at the issues and we have to talk about the church teachings and whatnot. And people could not get beyond, quote unquote, their feelings. Everything was about their emotions. I mean, these are people who even were educated Catholics who are just saying, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this. And I'm like, you know what? It's not about you. As Catholics, we're a universal church, and we're supposed to look at the issues from a much different vantage point. How is this going to affect the faith? How is it going to affect life? It's the big picture. And people, for whatever reason, could not get beyond that in many cases. And I think part of it is because we are so obsessed with self. It's all about me. Part of it is because we've built this world that is only concerned about, as I say in the title, me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm. One of your chapters is titled The Unhealthy Trio Versus the Holy Trinity.
Right.
Explain that, if you would, please.
Well, you know, one of the things that I had to learn when I was coming back to the church was that it wasn't about my plan. You know, it wasn't about my will. You know, I always said, well, my will be done, Lord, and if you can put your stamp of approval on it, everything will be great, and I'll go to church and check off the box every Sunday. But what I realized when I had my many, and continue to have my many come to Jesus moments, that it's about living God's will for our lives and following not what me, myself, and I want, but what the Father, Son, and Holy Trinity have set before us. Because the only way, and that comes with the subtitle of the book, Finding Real Happiness, the only way we are going to be truly happy is to discover God's plan, God's will for our life. And that takes humility, that takes a constant submission and surrendering. It's not easy. No, I'm still challenged by it every day. Yeah. But if we don't put God first, as in the Holy Trinity, we're never going to find that real happiness.
What do you mean by rediscovering our true identity as children of God? Is that kind of at the basis of this book, of what you want your readers to take away?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's at the basis of everything, because if we don't know who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and the fact that God has a unique plan for each of us, that we are all called to fulfill this plan, that then we're just going to be wondering. And I did it for years. And what I like to tell people when I speak, not only on this book, but when I give my talks and my testimony, is been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. I mean, yeah. I bought into, and my husband and I tell this in our marriage testimony, our reversion journey, which happened together. He came back first. I came back to the church after about a year later. But I was so consumed in terms of what I thought the world was telling me to do. I was very career-oriented. I was a radical feminist. I sacrificed a lot and almost lost my marriage, and more importantly, my soul, for putting my desires, my career, it had to be all about me and being the anchorwoman and the reporter and winning this Emmy or that Emmy or whatever. And I got so lost in that world that I barely found my way out.
So what are some of the tools to help families and individuals be less self-centered that you offer in your book?
Number one, practice your faith. Make sure you have that relationship with the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you, to reveal himself, to come into your life in a big way and to come into your heart. Practice your faith with a great love. Practice it at home. And then, you know, slow down with the media and be careful how you use the media. Those are two things I think that could make a huge difference.
So what do you want your readers to get out of the book? What's the bottom line here?
The bottom line is that the only way we're going to find happiness is knowing who we are in Christ. That is a message that I talk about all the time, because until I had a relationship with Christ, nothing really made a lot of sense. I was accumulating a lot of wealth, a lot of success, a lot of awards, everything that the world said was important, but I wasn't really happy. Nothing satisfied me. I was always looking for the next brass ring. And my husband and I were living our lives very similarly, although he's not in broadcasting, he's in engineering. He was also, and still is, praise God, very successful, and we're grateful for that. But we lost focus. And again, as I said earlier, it almost cost us our marriage and more importantly, our souls. So the biggest thing I stress is that we have to start with that basic relationship with Jesus, and then, you know, to practice that within the beauty and the history of our Catholic Church.
What type of reaction have you gotten from your readers so far?
It's been really good. I think especially people my age in their 50s appreciate it, because a lot of us are on Facebook and we're dealing with a lot of, you know, this media-obsessed culture. We're seeing how people our age, even though we may not be as, you know, technologically advanced as some of the younger folks, we're affected by it a lot. And people, I think it's an eye-opener for them, and parents and grandparents are appreciating the information in there as well.
Yeah, great. Well, Teresa, the book is titled Me, Myselfie, and I, Finding Real Happiness in a Self-Absorbed World. How can our listeners get a copy, and how can we learn more about your radio show and your other work?
Thanks for asking. It's real simple. I have an updated and revamped website. It's just teresatomeo.com, and that's Teresa as in the great St. Teresa of Avila. Not that I'm as good as her in nearly any, you know, good to tie her shoes, but I was named after her. And so that's Teresatomeo, teresatomeo.com.
Beyond Me, Myselfie, and I, Finding Real Happiness in a Self-Absorbed World by Teresa Tomeo, is available at your favorite Catholic bookstore or online retailer and at teresatomeo.com. For Catholic Baltimore, I'm Bob Krebs.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.